In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. Queen of Peace, pray for us. Okay, so we're continuing in the middle of volume 20, 10 to 19, 26. Okay. And Jesus says, he just said, basically, I dispose more or less of the goods of the divine will and the extension of the expanses that the souls must possess according to their dispositions. Okay, that's what Jesus says. And so, he says, I am looking at the posterity, at the dispositions that they shall have. And I'm looking at those in the present, that's us, to see the dispositions that they have. Because those in the present must pray, impetrate, and prepare the kingdom of the supreme fiat for the posterity. Our job, this is what Jesus is saying, is to get ready for the kingdom to come. And this is what he's doing. He says very, very clearly, this is why then I will return to the new surprises of my manifestations about my divine will. So Jesus says very, very clearly, he says, the present must pray, this is us, must impetrate, that's begging God to prepare for the kingdom of the supreme fiat for the children. And according to the dispositions of the posterity to, and those interest of the present, that's, so do I keep expanding the boundaries of my kingdom, because the generations are so linked one to another that it always happens this way. One prays, another prepares, another impetrates, another possesses. And then he says, the same thing happens with my coming upon earth in order to form the redemption. Okay. I think I'm right. Okay. We'll just continue. It was not for those that were present and prayed, sighed, and craved that obtained this goods. It was the one to enjoy them and to possess them, but those who lived before my coming. According to the dispositions of the present and the prayers and the dispositions of those past, so did I expand the boundaries of the goods of redemption. In fact, only when the good can be useful for creatures, then do I give it. But if not, if it brings them no utility, why give it? I've read this already, but listen. This is the utility that is taken by them, that if they have more dispositions. But do you know when I expand the boundaries? When I manifest to you, Louisa, a new knowledge. And this is what happens. As you read, he's manifesting to us a new knowledge that regards the kingdom of my divine will. This is why before manifesting to you, I cast a glance over everyone to see their dispositions, whether it shall be useful for them or it shall be for them, as if I had not spoken. And in seeing what I want to expand my boundaries more in, to give more to, more goods, more joys, more happinesses to possess, but they are not disposed, I feel afflicted and wait for your prayers, for your rounds. We read this, but again, it just tells us again, God is waiting for our rounds. And if you haven't learned how to pray the rounds, get the book, the rounds, get the book, the rounds of Lent. Your Lent will be so much more beautiful. For your pains, and again, everybody's suffering, to dispose the present as well as posterity. Okay. Let me just see here for a second. I'm sorry. I get carried away sometimes. Volume 20. Okay, 2. All right, here we go. Sorry for this delay. I'm only human. I always get upset when people say, I'm only human. No, you're not. You're called the divinity. Let's get back into what God wants. Then when I return to the new surprises of my manifestations about my divine will, this is why I am afflicted when I do not speak to you. He's afflicted when we don't read. My word is the greatest gift. The word of God is saying this about what he has given Louisa to write. It is, my word is a new creation, and unable to issue it from myself because creatures are not disposed to receive it. I, God, feel within me the weight of the gift that I want to give, and unable to give it, I remain afflicted and taciturn. That's our God. And my affliction grows even more in seeing you afflicted because of me. See, this is Louisa's, Jesus wouldn't appear to her, and she didn't have life when she didn't see Jesus. If you knew how I feel your sadness, how it all pours into my heart, my will brings it deep into the inmost heart because I do not have two wills, but one. And since my divine will reigns in you, Louisa, as a consequence, it brings you your afflictions deep inside of me. Therefore, pray and let your flight be continuous in the supreme fiat, that you may impetrate, that creatures would dispose themselves. That's us. And then listen to this, may return to speak to you once again. And this is what happens with this great gift of the divine. To read. Speak again. Having said this, he kept silent, and I remained more afflicted than before. I felt all the weight that Jesus felt because of the lack of dispositions of creatures. Volume 20, 10, 12, 19, 26. Do you know what first daughter of my divine will means? So here, Jesus is enlightening us by talking to Louisa. Do you know what firstborn daughter of the divine will means? It means daughter in the love of our celestial Father. First among all humanity to be loved. That's a title of Louisa. It means first daughter of grace, first daughter of light, first daughter of glory, first daughter possessor of the riches of her divine Father, first daughter of creation. These are all titles of Louisa. As firstborn daughter of the supreme will, Louisa contains all the bonds, all the relations, all the rights that befit the firstborn daughter, bonds of daughtership, relations of communications to all the dispositions of her celestial Father, the rights of possession of all of the Father's goods. When I say, do you have a picture of Louisa? Put this paragraph under it. Who is this Louisa Ficaretta that Jesus says this? Firstborn daughter of my divine will means firstborn daughter in the love of our celestial Father, firstborn daughter of all to be loved, firstborn daughter of grace, of light, firstborn daughter of glory, firstborn daughter of the possessor of the rights of her divine Father, first daughter of creation, firstborn daughter of the supreme will that contains all the bonds, all the relations, all the rights that befit the firstborn daughter, the bonds of daughtership, the relations of the communication of all the dispositions of her celestial Father, the rights of possession of all his goods. What does that mean? True daughter of Jesus, true daughter of Mary, the firstborn daughter in the divine will. God is offering this to us. See then, he says to Louisa, and he says to us, you must care about everything. He says, my coming itself is the irresistible force of the divine will that draws you to me and disposes you. The kingdom of redemption. Therefore, I, God, want the highest gratitude at your fortune of being the firstborn daughter of the divine will, Louisa. Then he says to us, I want you who are little children of the little daughter of the divine will. I want your highest gratitude at your fortune of being a little daughter, a little son of the firstborn daughter of my divine will. God is waiting for that. If you don't know who Luis is, you really don't know who you are, what God is calling you to. Volume 20, 10, 15, 19, 26. My daughter, your will be done. That I taught you in the Our Father, your will be done, Jesus, that I taught you, meant that all humanity was to pray that they might do at least the will of God. At least do the will of God. And this is for all Christians and for all times. Nor can anyone call himself a Christian if he does not dispose himself to do the will of his celestial Father. He says, but you have not thought of the other addition that comes immediately after, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven means to live in the divine will. It means to pray that the kingdom of my divine will may come on earth in order to live in the divine will. May your will be done on earth. Do the will of God. On earth as it is in heaven, that we live in the will of God. So this earth is our dust. May the kingdom of God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. This dirt, this dust, may the kingdom of God breathe into this dust. Lord, may your Holy Spirit breathe into this dust, your kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 20, 11, 2, 19, 26. The more knowledges I have manifested to you about the eternal fiat, the more I dispose you, the more I expand the net in order to catch souls who must live in my kingdom. And this disposes the Lord to give them to you, Luisa. He breathes this breath into Luisa. He gives these truths, these knowledges, these lessons to Luisa to dispose and expand this net, this catcher of souls who must live in the divine will. And Jesus says, how can you live in the divine will? He says, I'm disposing to give them to you, Luisa. She is our little mama. Little Luisa. And you haven't even gotten to hear what Jesus is going to do. And again, if you go to, I think it's divineworld.life, listen to, it's three, it's 45 pages, 15 talks on Luisa, the little mama of the little children, the Holy Divine. Well, I went one place and I was talking about little mama Luisa. They, hey, we got a little mama. We got little mama Mary. We don't need another mama. And I said, have you been reading the divine will? And they said, yes, for 15 years. And I said, 15 years. I said, and you haven't heard of her? I mean, what have you read? They said, well, we're only allowed to read the volume 3. I went, you mean you haven't read? you haven't read. And then when you remember, Archbishop Pichari said, I never said you couldn't read. He says, I don't know where this began. Read. He said, official, read. It's changing your heart. It's changing your mind. It's changing your soul. Those are the words of Archbishop Pichari. And he says very clearly, I, God, dispose the souls in order to give them to you, Luisa. You have Mother Angelica, you have Mother Gabriel, you have Mother Teresa, you have all these beautiful mothers, but the most beautiful of mothers next to the Blessed Mother is little Mama Luisa. Volume 20, 11, 6, 1926. It is a providential act of the supreme will that wants Father De Francia, St. Honorable De Francia, as the first apostle of the divine fiat, the first proclaimer of the divine will. See, that's why you pray to him all the time. Pray to Father Bucci too. Father Bucci he was the first to read before St. Honorable De Francia, basically volume 35 and 36. He was the first to read 1 through 19. He studied it. He read it. He became a master of it. And then he read 35 and 36, and he gave those two volumes to his archbishop, who listened to Luisa. listen to the teachings of Louisa, volume 1 through volume 19, when he was a seminarian. And those books were, Father Bucci, basically are just astonishing. It really wraps up all 36 volumes, 35 and 36. So Jesus says, since Father Nibali was to be the founder of an order, happens to be a founder of the order, it is easier for him to approach bishops, priests, and people, also with his own institute, in order to proclaim the kingdom of my divine will. This is why I, Jesus, assist him so much. I, Jesus, give him special light, because in order to understand my divine will, it takes great graces, not little lights for the saints, but a son. That's why you go back to the book from the Vatican, the son of my divine will, Luisa Picaretta. Not little lights, but a son to comprehend a divine, a holy, and eternal will, as well as the great disposition on the part of the priest, this is Father Nibali, to whom this office is entrusted. And then the daily coming of the priest. I myself also disposed that I might find quickly the first apostles of the fiat of my kingdom, so that they might proclaim what regards to my eternal will. These are the words of Jesus. It's not a layperson. The first apostles of the fiat of my kingdom, so that they might proclaim what regards my divine will. It's the priest's job to proclaim this third bread, as the priest is in charge of the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, and gives it to the laity. It's the priest's job, Jesus says, to give this gift to humanity. Pray that every priest, that the angels touch their foreheads, so that the priest will know what this is about and believe in it and proclaim it. Everything's going to change. Therefore, let me finish first what regards my divine will. Let me have the first apostles that regard my divine will, so that after I have completed it, I may entrust it to the new apostles of my divine will. See, it's the priesthood. It's the bishops. Father Bucci kept on saying, for a layperson not to have the Eucharist and say, well, I've got bread and wine here, my body, this is my blood. I got bread and I got the Eucharist. He said it would be as foolish for a layperson to proclaim the divine will. Oh, here it is. Here it is. This is the truth. So you need the ontological change that happens at ordination. When a priest proclaims the gospel, when he gives a homily, that's the Holy Spirit working. Lay people can't do that. They might have a nice talk, but it doesn't touch the soul. This is what Jesus wants from his priests. I might find quickly the first apostles of the fiat of my kingdom, so that they might proclaim what regards my eternal will. Therefore, let me finish first. And after I have completed it with you, Louisa, I may entrust it to the new apostles, to the priests, to the bishops, and you, Louisa, shall be able to come to heaven. That started in 1947. And you will see from up there in heaven the fruits of the longed-for kingdom of the eternal fiat. Once this gift is given to the priests, it's from you, Louisa, to the priest, as the first apostles of the kingdom of redemption came from the Blessed Mother at Pentecost. The second Pentecost is coming. This is why the Holy Spirit's over Louisa. The second Pentecost that's coming is going to dispose the world to enter into the kingdom of the eternal fiat. It's very close. You have to understand it's very, very close. Volume 20, 11, 14, 1926. I wanted the enjoyment to take the pleasure of seeing our reflection, the mirror reflection in Louisa. It's not only the mirror reflection, but then she receives the living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, the reflection of Jesus, the mirror reflection of the Holy Spirit living in the divine will, and then finally the inheriting the divine inheritance of the Father. I, God, wanted the enjoyment. I, God, wanted to take the pleasure of seeing our reflection in Louisa. Otherwise, creation would be without delight, without amusement, without harmony for us. The echo would not find the way through which to resound our divine sanctity and the place in which to imprint itself, our divine beauty, and the place in which to shine our divine love, the place into which to pour forth itself our divine wisdom, our divine masterpiece, and to find no place in which to operate and to unfold. He's done this with Our Lady, Mother and Queen. Now he wants to do it with humanity. And this is what he sees in Louisa. So all of our divine attributes would remain hampered in their work because they would not find the suitable material in which to form their work so as to have their reflectors. And then he says, on the other hand, in Louisa, the soul in whom my divine will reigns, my divine will disposes her to become suitable material so that our divine attributes may carry out their delightful crafting. That's the sixth step in what the Virgin Mary taught Louisa. And again, you should pray those six steps after receiving Holy Communion. The final, may I possess as much as I possibly can. The quality, the divine quality of the reflection of God, you know, the divine attributes of God. We haven't seen anything yet. These are all promises that Jesus is giving to those who want this. But that great event is close. This illumination of conscience is very close. Very, very close. Volume 20, 11, 16, 19, 26. My daughter, look at how much evil the human will has produced. They have so blinded themselves that they are preparing fierce wars and revolutions. Sound familiar? This time it shall not be just Europe, but other races shall unite together. The circle shall be more extensive. Other parts of the world shall participate. How much evil does the human will have? It blinds humanity. It impoverishes humanity. It makes humanity murderer of himself. I think we're seeing that happen. Humanity is murdering itself. But I shall use this for my highest purpose. And the reunions, the houses, the reunions of the faith, this is going to reunion all many races, all nations shall serve to facilitate the communications of the truths of this gift, the manifestations of these gifts, the lessons of these gifts, so that they may dispose themselves to receive the kingdom of the supreme fiat. That's what God is doing with us. We're getting ready. Don't slow down. Use this Lent that's coming up as a means to draw closer to living in the divine will. You want to focus on something? Focus on the 24 hours of the Passion. You want to focus on something? Focus on the rounds of creation and redemption during Lent. Watch what God's going to do. Your family is going to... The light that God is going to fill you with is going to extend to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the whole world. Volume 20, 1, 6, 1927. See then how in order to give the great gift of the incarnation, a virgin was needed who would have no human will. That's the Blessed Mother. Who would be more of heaven than of earth. That's the Blessed Mother. As well as the continuous miracle that would dispose Our Lady to this great portent of Mother and Queen, Theotokos, Mother of God. He says, what happened for redemption is now happening with sanctification. It's not saying Louisa is the Mother of God, but she takes on the qualities of the new Adam, of the new Eve. My daughter, the Son, is the symbol of my divine will, and by its own nature, my divine will wants to follow its course of light in the soul in whom it reigns. That's Louisa first. And since it light possesses innumerable effects It never tires, nor does it exhaust itself. Therefore, it wants to communicate its effects and its triumph when it finds the disposition in you, Louisa. Louisa is the one who's disposed. We want to be more like her. Then, more than to a seed, a flower, or a fruit, it can communicate its effects, the fragrance, the color, the sweetness, that converting into knowledges, these lessons that Jesus is giving us, belonging to it, forms the enchantment of its garden. This is the Garden of Eden. See, we're going back to paradise. Paradise is still in existence. The animals are still there. The vegetables, the insects, everything is still there. And God is waiting for us to come back to the garden. That's why Louisa had a little garden. And that's why I think each and every one of us should have a garden. Learn planting. Planting. If you have trouble with your garden, this is something that's very important. Get a stick. Get some copper wire. Put copper wire around the stick. Put it into the ground. Your garden will be unbelievable. And now that sounds really strange, but it's true. You need this connection with the atmosphere, with the earth, what it does is it helps the plants grow. It's like walking barefoot. When you do this, your body, gets rid of all the, negativities, basically. For example, what happened in the 60s? Everyone got, rubber soles. There's no leather soles anymore. I mean, I walk around without shoes on most of the time. And everybody goes, what's wrong with you? Why don't you put some shoes on? It's easier. What happens is you become one with nature, the electricity of the earth. You're going to see great things happening in the new era. Free electricity. The water's going to be pure. I mean, what's coming? New heavens and a new earth. You can't believe what God's got coming. So he says, the sweetness of converting knowledges that belong to the divine will form the enchantment of its garden. Watch your garden grow. And my divine fiat, more than son, feels like a king who is able to exercise his royal office. It feels it is not only its subjects in its subject. It does not. It feels it has not only its subjects, but also its daughter, Louisa, and us, sons and daughters of Louisa, to whom, as it communicates its effects, its manifestations, its truths, its lessons, so to communicate the likeness of queen, the likeness of king. Adam was a king. He ruled the earth. And when he fell, there was nobody in charge of it anymore. The devil came to be in charge. So Jesus says, I'm going to get rid of this evil one. I mean, it's going to happen. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is going to occur. What's that? We become like her son. Image and likeness. Image through holy baptism. Likeness through the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. And then this new era is coming. The daughter to whom, as it communicates its effects, its manifestations, its communications, the likeness of God. That's what's coming. Jesus says, I feel like a king again, that I can give this image and likeness to my children, to clothe my children with royal garments of light, of life, of love. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's not about becoming a saint. Jesus says it's about saving the human generations. God is offering this to humanity. And what he's done, he said to us, I want you to give this to humanity. How can we give it to humanity? Being one with Louisa, learning these truths, living these truths, it will be given to the world. I will do it, Jesus says. When I find the souls who want this more than anything. And the sad part about that is it's not given to the world because he hasn't found the souls who want the divine will more than anything. So Jesus is looking at us. He's asking us. He's pleading with us. Are you beginning to live this abundant life that I want you to possess? I want you to be clothed with royal garments. I want you to enter into my kingdom. And since all my manifestations about the supreme fiat shall form a new garden. This is really a new way of living, the new heavens and the new earth of the children of my divine will. It wants to always place the effects in you, Louisa, with its light. So as to make the divine will rich and luxuriant with all species of all the celestial flowers, all the celestial fruits, all the celestial plants in such a way that attracted by the variety of so many beauties, everyone shall feel as though enraptured and shall strive to live in the kingdom of the divine will. Have a little garden. It doesn't have to be a big garden. My first garden, I think it was 60 feet by 60 feet. And then it went 40 feet to 40 feet. And then it went 20 feet to 20 feet. And then it's like it's 10 feet. I basically have a deck on the second floor that I keep some things growing. It's good to be part of life. To watch these beautiful things happen. You fall more in love with God when you see creation. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas says. All shall feel as though enraptured. This is each and every one of us. And shall strive to live in the divine kingdom. Now, if you lack the disposition, Jesus says, to receive the communications of the effect of the Son of my divine will and to put them in order to write and for us to read them, if you lack that disposition, so as to make known to ourselves the good that they contain and its unheard of prodigies, my will would act like a sun that would burn you. If you don't have the disposition, what's the disposition? Let your will be done in me on earth as it is in heaven. If you don't have that disposition, I'll act like the sun. I'll burn you in such a way that you would become sterile and infertile. And besides, how can I write alone without you, Louisa? And this is what he says to us. How can I read alone without you, little children of Louisa? God wants to be one with us. What Louisa has written, Jesus was with her. What we read, Jesus is with us. Listen to Jesus. He's always talking. He's the Word. He's always speaking. He's the Word. Listen to Jesus as he teaches you. When you read the book of heaven, it becomes everything. It really does. So Louisa said, I was thinking to myself, before I write, before we read, when you see write/read, certain little things that Jesus tells me, it seems to me that they are very little importance. Therefore, it seems that if it is not necessary to put them on paper, it is not necessary to read them. Some people believe that. Well, there's certain things I don't need to read. I don't need to read 1 through 10. That's the beginning. No, you have to live 1 through 10. You have to possess 1 through 10 to even begin to live volume 11. Oh, I don't need volume. I'm going to read volume 35 and 36. I'll possess it all. The pride that's there. You've got to read this. You've got to study this. You've got to put this into practice. 1 through 10 is essential to get to 11 through 19, to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's essential. 1 through 19 is to begin to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. I don't need that. Foolishness. So Jesus says, Louis says, but am I in the right act of writing them? We're reading them the way in which Jesus orders them. In my interior changes the scene. Though small in appearance, they seem to be of great importance in their substance. That's volume 1 through volume 10. Know it. Possess it. Live it. So you can go to volume 11 through 19. Then you can go through volume 20 through volume 36. Know this. Love this. Possess it. It might seem like it doesn't matter. Read it. Study it. Put it into practice. Jesus said, daughter, did I not say 20 words to form so many things in creation? Excuse me. I did not say 20 words to form so many things in creation, but one fiat was enough for the whole universe. Now, my word as God, as the word of God, still contains its creative power. And you and others cannot know if my word is directed to forming a heaven or directed forming a star or directed to forming a sea or directed for a sun for other souls. Therefore, by not taking into account but what my word is, but not putting it on display for creatures. If you're not reading it, you're not helping your family. They don't have to hear it. Jesus says, I'll take care of it. You read it, you possess it, and I'll give it to them. They come to reject this heaven, the sun, the star, the sea back into myself, while they could do so much good for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors, for everybody, past, present, and future. And the harm that would follow would be ascribed to the soul who, not taking it into consideration, has suffocated that word within me, Jesus. Do you see how important these writings are? Everything's going to change with the souls who must live in the divine will. It's going to bless your family. It's going to bless your friends, your neighbors, your parishioners, your nation, the world, the universe. And then he said, if on the other hand, they do not believe, it is even worse because they are so blind as not to have the eyes to see the Son of my word. See, that's what Jesus is saying. Do you have the eyes to see the Son, S-U-N, of my word? Do you have the eyes to see it? The incredulity leads to obstinacy, which leads to hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. The belief, and this is your belief softens the hearts, disposes it to let itself be subdued by grace, to receive this divine sight in order to comprehend my truths, my lessons, my promises. Read, study. It's a promise that you make to Jesus. It's your promise to Jesus. I promise that I will read every day. Then read every day. If it's too much for you, I promise to read 15 minutes a day. If you can't read, I promise to listen 15 minutes a day, a half an hour a day, an hour a day. I want to know this. I want to learn this. I want to possess this. Jesus says very, very clearly. He says, the belief softens, disposes, subdued by grace to receive the sight in order to comprehend the truths. Good things are coming. Amazing things are happening. And our God is asking us. He's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. He really is. I am 27. It was my usual state. My adorable Jesus made me see the many strings in my interior. I love this. It was my usual state. What's her state? Suffering and ecstasy. Suffering, being crucified with Christ, ecstasy by being in heaven. This is what God wants you. He wants you to be with him and his mother. My adorable Jesus made me see many strings in my interior, one close to the other. Okay. So he's looking at us. He's looking at Luisa and she sees these strings. And starting from a sphere, this is the divine will Jesus shows us, that was in the middle of these strings. Under the sphere was empty. And the empty space, there was my sweet Jesus, who very often touched those strings and played, but in such a harmonious and beautiful way that cannot be described. This is when I say Jesus is going to make his divine masterpiece, I always think of paintings or sculpture. He says, you have these strings with which I, God, am going to play the most beautiful sonata. And that's what he says. Then after he played his little sonata, he said, my daughter, these strings are symbols of the soul in whom my divine will reigns. God wants to make of us his divine masterpiece. He wants to show all of heaven who each and every one of us is. And together is the orchestra. That's heaven. Everyone will be singing, playing, dancing the best they can. And each one will be playing, singing, and dancing their unique love of God that only they can play or sing or dance. Jesus wants to make of us his divine masterpiece, not mine. You think of like I told you about my uncle. He was a sharpshooter, you know, and he had trophies like you wouldn't believe. When he died, I got all his trophies. And I look and I go, he was really good at what he did. But what God wants is he wants to make us his trophy, his masterpiece. Not just an object that you can put on a shelf. And he says, and then I myself delighted in forming them and arranging them all in order. This sound makes me move to touch the strings of goodness. This sound while making me put out my divine goods disposes the souls to receive them. See, he's talking about Luisa. She is so beautiful that we're receiving this gift because of Luisa. Therefore, every time I want to place one of my attributes in office, I touch the strings that belong to it. I place it in attitude. But do you know why I have disposed all these strings in you, Luisa? Because whatever my divine will reigns, I, God, want to find all of myself and all of the things that belong to me in such a way that whatever I do in heaven, I must be able to do in the soul in whom my supreme fiat reigns, dominates and reigns. This is what God wants to do with us. I can guarantee you, he wants to bring about a new and divine way of holiness in each and every one of us. He wants to reign in us completely as Lord, as God, as Master, as King. He says, if your human will is there, I can't be the king. You're the king. I can't give you what I want to bring to all of creation because you have your own trophies. Get rid of everything. I must have my throne. I must have my melodies. So be able to vibrate the sound of divine mercy to convert souls. The sound of wisdom to make myself known. The sound of my power and my divine justice to make myself feared. God is nobody. How many times do you hear somebody cursing God, using God's name in vain? They're not afraid of God. They use God as a joke. God has to be feared. You have to be afraid to sin. You have to be afraid to displease him in any way, shape, or form. Who has that? Louisa did. Our Lady did. Jesus did. Because of Jesus and Mary, Louisa did. I must be able to say, Jesus says, in that soul where my fiat dominates and reigns, here is my heaven on earth. He wants to do that with each and every one of us. Jesus wants to say, here is my heaven. Can he say that in each and every one of us? Not yet. Not yet. Because we're still not convinced that this is what God wants. If we were convinced, Jesus said, I would find the souls who must live in the divine will and I will give it to the world. He hasn't found anybody yet. He's found Louisa, but he's looking at us, asking us, would you get out of the way so the kingdom can be established? So let us pray. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray for divine healing for us, for our families, our friends, our loved ones, for all the nations, for all the world. We pray that this kingdom be established on earth as it is in heaven, that people begin to understand how powerful this great gift of the divine will is. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. The next part will be part 3. It gets even better. God is so good. God bless you.